Welcome to Ghost Biz here on Nova 103.5. And Ghost, as always, we speak to you to bring us up to date with what's happening in the markets. I spent much of this week traveling around South Africa and speaking to a number of different industries. Perhaps just wanted to test a thought with you. It seems as if the sentiment in South Africa is shifting, and it seems as if there's a far more positive outlook. There doesn't seem to be much evidence to back that up yet. But the markets, are they showing the same sentiment?
Hi, Gary. Thanks, as always, for doing this show with me. So, yeah, it's a great question. And you've got to be careful which index you look at on the markets. It's funny you ask. I mean, I feel like I've had this conversation a couple of times, actually, in the last week with different people. Because obviously the JSE Top 40, well, there's nothing obvious about it. You know, if you go and you have a look at the constituents of the Top 40, it's filled with Rand hedges. So it's got some really big companies in there that generate the bulk of their revenue offshore, or in some cases generate the bulk of their revenue from things like, you know, commodity prices or whatever the case may be. Stuff that isn't actually linked to the South African economy specifically. So you have a situation where the top 40 is not actually the best way to play this government of national unity improvement in sentiment. Where you have seen a lot of the benefit come through is if you go and have a look at something like the financials index, which is basically your banks, a lot of your big insurance names, etc. You've seen a big upswing in share prices in that space. And that is where the sentiment is coming through, because those companies are so big that basically they really struggle to grow unless South Africa as a whole is growing. I mean, Capitec is one of very few examples there where they've managed to win so much market share from competitors that they've done incredibly well, regardless of whether South Africa has actually grown or not. Another good place to look would be the property sector. This is actually my personal favorite way to play the improvements in sentiment, because you're earning a yield while you wait, and you're getting the benefit, hopefully, of improved valuations of properties, because when the risk in a market comes down, so too do the discount rates used to value the underlying assets. And what that means, a lower discount rate means a higher value today of those future profits. In this case, in a property, those profits mean rental income. And so what happens is the value of the property should go up, which obviously helps a property fund's share price. On top of that, it means that their loan to value ratio can go up. They can borrow more. And here's the extra kicker. If interest rates come down in South Africa, which at some point they must start doing, then their cost of funding also goes down. So, you know, those are just a couple of ways to go and see what's happening on the ground in that improved sentiment. Other ways to do it, go and pick out some sort of mid-cap industrial type stocks. But I will raise a caution here, which is to say that a number of directors of local listed companies have been selling into the market strength. So just be cautious. You know, the market might move quickly in response to sentiment and momentum, but then you need the earnings to actually start coming through. And that can take a long time. And directors know that, which is why some of them have probably sold into the strength.
All right, let's turn our attention to a company that's been in the news for all the wrong reasons the last year or so. Pick n Pay have had a dreadful time of it over the last while. It's seen some pretty dramatic changes. The Ackerman family stepping back. And a 4 billion rand rights offer that seems to have come into sharper focus this week. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with Pick n Pay.
Yes, indeed. The Pick n Pay rights offer is finally upon us. We've known about it for a long time, because Pick n Pay basically told the market way ahead of time that they were going to need to do a capital raise. It was quite an unusual strategy, actually. Most listed companies don't do that, because the share price then tanks in anticipation of the rights offer, and then you end up in an awkward situation where you're not quite sure where to price the thing. You know, do you then just price it at the lower price? Do you try price it with reference to where it was? That's hard to get away. So a lot of companies will rather wait, announce the rights offer, it's at a discount to the current price, and then, you know, all hell breaks loose in the market, but at least the share price didn't drop in anticipation. Anyway, it is what it is, and Pick n Pay decided to take the route of rather being honest with the market earlier on, which is also quite refreshing, let's face it. They need to raise 4 billion rand, so it's a lot of money. And I think their trading losses in the prior year were somewhere around 1.5 billion, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, just for context, 4 billion rand sounds like a ton of money, but the reality is that it doesn't go that far unless they get the business right. Something I wrote in Ghostmail this week was that they've really been given a bit of a get out of jail card by a combination of load shedding disappearing, because obviously then they're not incurring the diesel costs. You know, people feel better about South Africa. They spend more money. So that's really helped them. And the other thing that has really helped them is this government of national unity. I think if we ended up with negative sentiment after the election, Pick n Pay would have an even harder time of actually achieving any kind of recovery. You know, it's the really hard times that kill off the weak. In a stronger market, even the weak can survive. Whether or not they should is a story for another day, but they can at least survive. So the terms of the rights offer have now been announced. It comes in at a huge discount because basically the underwriters don't want these shares. So it's been underwritten by a few banks. And when you look at a rights offer, the discount tells you a lot about whether or not the underwriter actually wants the shares. So sometimes you'll see a rights offer where the underwriter is a strategic investor who is actually looking to pick up a lot more shares from people who have just given up on the thing. This is not the case here. There's a huge discount because the banks, I mean, why do banks want to own shares in Pick n Pay, right? They need to underwrite it because they need to help get this equity check away, but they don't want to own the shares. So a big discount means that shareholders who do not follow their rights are massively prejudiced. And they're also allowing excess applications, which is another way of knowing that the underwriters actually don't want the shares. It means that you can apply for excess shares over and above your pro rata allocation as a Pick n Pay shareholder. So what's quite cool there is if you are willing to put more money into this thing, then you can apply for excess applications and you might get some, which means you pick up more shares at a very discounted rate to the current market price. So lots of interesting stuff there. And the real point here, of course, is what will Pick n Pay do going forward in terms of getting their business right? As I say, lack of load shedding, huge win. Improved market sentiment, huge win. They've been thrown a lifeline here through none of their own genius whatsoever, but entirely the macroeconomic situation, and they need to take advantage of it.
And Namibia is quite exposed to the mining sector, and tin is also an interesting export from the Namibian environment. There was some news from Alphamin this week. Let us know what's going on there.
Yes, indeed. Alphamin, which runs with tin, so that's always easy enough to remember. We'd call it Alpha Max at the moment, to be honest, because they have achieved record quarterly production of tin, and the share price responded quite positively as well. So tin production was up by 28% in this quarter versus the immediately preceding quarter. So not the year on year, but the one that happened just before. Now, what is interesting is that they had to process 52% more ore in order to get tin production up by 28%. So, you know, that implies or tells you that it's more difficult at the moment to actually get the tin out. And they do highlight that in the announcement and note that they did expect tin grades to reduce as they sort of built out the business. But the other thing that sticks out even more is that tin sales actually fell 21%. So production up 28, sales down 21. So big mismatch there between production and sales. Couple of reasons for this, main one being that the preceding quarter in and of itself wasn't a normal quarter. They were catching up on sales that didn't happen at the end of 2023 because of road damage. So they've just had a couple of weird quarters in a row where production and sales have not been matched up at all. And that's why EBITDA is only up 4% versus the previous quarter, despite the jump in production. Now, they say that they will catch up on sales in the third quarter, i.e. the next quarter. And we certainly hope that that will be the case. And more than that, hopefully the tin price stays strong so that they can get those sales away at a solid price. I'm not sure to what extent they would have locked in prices already. Maybe they have. But obviously the momentum is up at Alphamin, production is up, and they just need sales and production to normalize now.
Guys, let's turn our attention now to Tongaat Hulett, another company that's had serious headwinds the last couple of years. They've released a circular to shareholders related to the approved business plan. So there's had to be some serious rescue work done in that environment. Just perhaps bring us a little bit up to date with what is going on there at Tongaat Hulett.
So I must be honest, I haven't followed the recent stuff at Tongaat in immense detail because I tried to find places where I can make money as opposed to where people lost a lot of money. Jury is still very out on what the future will be of Tongaat. There's a tiny chance it actually remains listed, but I don't really see how, because you're going to have a situation where the investor who is kind of rescuing this group is going to end up owning over 97% of it once the subscription goes ahead. So Vision Investments will hold 97.3% in Tongaat after they put the money in. And obviously that means everybody else who used to hold shares added together will only be 2.7%. Now, the JSE is very unlikely to accept that as a level of float. that allows for it to stay listed. But, you know, who knows if there is some kind of plan to allow investors to participate in the rescued version of the company, maybe they will allow it. But the float won't be able to stay there. It's just not practical. There'll be no trade really in the stock. So they would either need to have a plan to go and actually, you know, raise more money from the market and allow retail investors to come in. And I'm not sure why they would go and do that, to be honest. I suspect it's going to end up delisting. In the meantime, though, shareholders need to approve a resolution for the issuance of shares under the business rescue plan, because obviously to issue that number of shares is way in excess of the special resolution threshold, which is 30%. So the way the law works, if you're going to issue shares that are more than 30% of what you already have in issue, you need to go off to shareholders and get a special resolution. So this, I can't think of another example offhand where I've seen an issuance that takes a new investor to 97% of a company. And it tells you that unfortunately, what's left behind at Tongaat, other than the new money coming in, is very, very close to worthless.
Thanks, Ghost. Sounds sweet. Let's see what I did there. Right. So we'll let you off the hook. You can go ghosting again for the rest of the week. We'll talk to you again next week. Catch up on what's going on in the South African markets. And it's interesting to watch what's happening in South Africa at the moment, and always interesting to see the impact that it has on the investments we make. That's Ghost Biz with the Finance Ghost, and catch us next week right here on the Business Report.